Hello, my name is Nate Sanchez. I'm the producer and host of Supplying Success, a podcast that spotlights the state of supplier diversity in today's business world. In this series, you will hear from guests that are recognized experts in supplier diversity, and I want to remind everyone the diverse supplier marketplace consists of certified minority-owned businesses known as MBEs, the Minority Supplier Development Councils that certify MBE companies, and notably the major corporations that contract with these MBEs to purchase goods and services. On the next episode in our series, I want to introduce my guest, Donna Clemens from Joy Promotions, who Joy Promotions is an advertising and branding company. They do like name, logo, all that good stuff. And Donna's been the president of Joy Promotions for, I believe, over 30 years. So first of all, thank you for doing this, Donna, and welcome on.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
So I guess to start, talk about, you know, what you do with Joy Promotions and you know, your experience in your 30-plus years.
Okay. Joy, as you said, Joy Promotion is a brand advertising company where we provide merchandise to customers with their names and logo branded on them to be used for incentive, recognition, awards, job well done, conferences, trade shows, giveaways, and all of that. Been in the industry for over 30 years, and I am president of Joy Promotions Incorporated, and I am a woman-owned, certified woman-owned and minority-owned company here in Dallas. Our office is 8787 North Stemmons Freeway, Dallas, Texas. And yes, we have impacted a lot of companies, being an asset to them, because we position ourselves to be a one-stop shop. Meaning, if they have an event, share with us what the event is, what their objectives are, and allow us to come with the ideas of a product that will make that event successful. Not only do we provide the products to them, we do offer fulfillment services where they can have products shipped to us, we can repackage it and ship it out to various locations, and also give them valuable ideas of what will make an event a great success because of the years of experience under our belts. And being members of councils like Minority Development Council and WeBank, Women Business Council, have truly impacted our lives. When we became members back in 1995 with Minority Development Council, I promise you, it stopped all of my cold calling, my, as they would say, hitting the concrete, trying to get business. And we found out that a lot of our target clients were a member of the council, the corporations. So therefore, we just went to their events, they being the council's event, networking event, access expo, and luncheons that they would have. And that gave us direct access to these customers, potential customers, and now, fast forward, a lot of them are existing customers. So that's just showed that being members of these councils, they have done a great job in connecting MBEs, WBEs with their target market, whether it's a corporation or public sector or school district, etc.
Yeah, so I guess that's a good starting point. Talking about, you know, I assume specifically you're referencing the Dallas-Fort Worth Minority Supplier Development Council.
Yes.
You know, I attended the, believe we met at the their quarterly luncheon recently.
Yes, uh-huh.
And, you know, I obviously learned a lot, met a lot of great people there. And I could definitely see, like, the benefits of
yes.
the networking there.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you kind of just answered, but if you could single out, like, what's the biggest benefit you've seen? Like, is it just that access? Is that, you know, all it takes really is getting the access to these contracts?
Well, yes, access is very important for any business. I mean, if you can have access to your target market or a company or corporation that you want to do business with, and you know that they are a member of the same organization that you are a member of, and that organization sets up events where you can get face to face with them, mm-hmm. you can't put a price on that. And I am here to tell you, it has truly impacted our company dramatically, because, you know, they will, when you're meeting them directly, they might not be the person that you are going to be working with, but they will lead you and guide you and tell you who you need to contact with their in their company. And you go through that process. And now with us having so many years under our belt and a lot of the members there we are doing business with, what it does, it helps us to continue to cultivate our relationship. As you know, in sales, people love doing business with people that they know, they feel comfortable with, that they know that it's going to do a great job. We do have a proven track record. We take pride in what we do. And our little slogan in our company, our customer success is our success. So when we help them with an event and providing products and ideas and services to them, and it's a success, then we're a success. And it's a win-win. They'll come back to us for future opportunities. And also, Nate, what we found, we have gotten a lot of increased business from referrals from mm-hmm. existing customers. So, answer to your question, having access to your market or your potential customer, you can put a price, invaluable.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I just talked to Don McNeely, and he almost said the exact same thing about people like doing business with people that they like. So, yeah, those connections matter. And, like, honestly, like, in my experience, you know, in college and, you know, in my internship, you know, meeting people, everyone tells me it's all about who you know. It's all about connections.
Yes, that's a true statement.
And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, that's something that's probably harder for minority business owners and, you know, women business owners to come across whenever, you know, you're a little bit behind the eight ball, and these minority supplier development councils give you that access. So I got to experience that firsthand. That was really awesome. You know, the 1% plus plan that they talked about, yeah. all that good stuff. Yeah. So I guess broadly speaking, and you're coming at it from multiple angles. So it's not, you're not just a minority business owner, but you're also a woman business owner.
Yes.
So, like, I mean, those are two different things that you have to work with there. That, you know, it takes some work. You have to put in a little extra work. So what would you say so there's definitely multiple challenges. But what would you say are the biggest challenges of, you know, being a minority business owner?
Being minority and being a woman. Those are two things that me personally have no control of. You know, God yeah. chose me to be an African American, and he chose me to be a woman, okay? And so therefore, I, as a business owner, I have to have the same standards of quality as a major corporation or all white owned company. So therefore, when we are on that journey of striving to get business for our company, we don't play that card and say, hey, do business with me because I'm a woman, because I'm a minority. Now, if that opens doors for us, you bet your bottom dollar we're going to walk through them, okay? But we know to get in there and get repeated business, we have to bring value to the table. We have to bring quality service, good pricing, because all of that makes good sense. So therefore, if a minority or woman-owned program goes away, we don't want your promotion to go away. We mm-hmm. want them to keep us in their database, continue to do business with us as a company that will be an asset to them and bring value to them and continue to do business with us. Now, you know, we know that in the time in which we live in, there are lots of challenges for small businesses and women and minority-owned businesses. And that's why, you know, the world sees it, and that's why they have certain programs in place. And mm-hmm. we walk through those doors and take advantage of those programs. But my advice to any minority-owned company or woman-owned company, just don't play that card. Make sure you bring value to the table, to the company, and don't ask them to lower their standard just to do business with you because you're small. Know your capability. Know what it is that you can do. Be good at what you do. And when we exercise those principles in our company, it has worked for us, because we don't want to set ourselves up for failure, mm-hmm. making promises that we can't fulfill or saying things that we can't fulfill. We want it to be a win-win for them and us and for repeat business, because that's how you keep your doors open. Customers coming back to you, new customers coming to you. So my thing is that, yes, there's a lot of challenges, but let's continue to operate in the spirit of excellence, doing a great job, staying within your capability, and just work your business.
So you kind of talk about like adding value. What are the biggest benefits that MBEs can provide to the economy, and not just to the economy, but the buying entities that they work with?
What I have found in my 30 plus years of experience being an entrepreneur is that, and it's not just with us, but with other small businesses and minority, we can spend on a dime, meaning we don't have to go through a whole lot of red tape that huge companies have to go through to make things happen. And a lot of our customers, and I have had, you know, new customers come to us because, oh, they're small, let's give them this little small thing, and we needed it yesterday, let's see if they can do it. And again, we're not going to say we can do it if we can't do it, but we were able to do it because why? We could spend on a dime. We could make it happen. We didn't have to go through all the red tape and getting this approved to get this done and whatever. And again, knowing our capability and making promises that we can keep and not saying things that we cannot do. So that's one of the, I would say, an asset or an advantage for small businesses, that we can make decisions fast, we can handle things fast, mm-hmm. and we can move and get things done faster versus, not to say I don't want to grow into a big company, and we have had great growth, and I'm very appreciative of that. But as you are growing, you're putting your policies, your procedures, your processes in place so you can continue to be successful.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, flexibility is such an important thing.
And yes,
in my internship here with ISP Creative and the Logisticorp Group, Mr. Gary Castro was telling me about how, you know, years back, Logisticorp, when they got their contract with Texas Instruments, and they got it over a bigger corporation who I'm not going to name, but he talked about how, you know, they got the contract because they were able to, you know, mold themselves into what Texas Instruments was asking for. But you know, like you're saying, like larger corporations can't do that,
and so that's
definitely an advantage,
right,
of, you know, smaller businesses. Minority business owners are much more flexible in that manner.
And that's an asset and value to that corporation or that company, that they have a company that can provide that for them.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
They're ever evolving and growing also. So that's where we bring value.
So another thing that I've learned. So again, I haven't talked about it a lot on this podcast so far, just in my interview with Don McNeely and now with you, is, you know, just different things that I've learned in my internship, you know, working with multiple minority-owned businesses, you know, between ISP and Logisticorp, is minorities lifting other minorities up.
Yes.
So what's your take on, you know, the benefits of MBE to MBE spend and how that helps the economy as a whole?
Yes.
And just helping the MBEs, you know, in their own right.
Yeah, and we at Jewel Promotions, we are an advocate of supporting one another, whether it's women owned, business, or minority owned, because we put ourselves in their position. You know, we're looking for business, and I know, if I have a product or service I can offer to them, that my first request is go to a woman or minority-owned company to see if I can get do business with them on whatever that product or service that I'm needing to operate my business. And it's good to support one another. Treating others the way you want to be treated, and especially when I see new minority or women-owned businesses coming in, because, you know, there are companies that I mentor, mm-hmm. and, you know, sharing some of our experiences and things with. And if I can send some business their way to maybe be their first customer, or maybe help them get a feel, mm-hmm. of what it's like, because what? I've been there, and I know what it's like and how hard it is to get started. And then as years go on, you know, we make it a point to buy with minority-owned and women-owned businesses for any products and services that we do. And that is great value. And I get great comfort in knowing that I'm helping another minority or another woman-owned business, being able to support them and through doing business with them. And I get along, like with Logistic Corp. You know, we do business with one another. I have several project fulfillment projects in place with them right now. They buy uniforms and things with us. So it's like a win-win. Doing business with you, you do business with me. What does that yield? It yields success, and it yields us continue to support one another and keeping our doors open. Great value.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I also think, like, just beyond the business side of it, it sends a great message to, you know, both between the two companies and just, like, broadly, like, in the business community. I think that's a tremendous look to see. Yes. MBEs helping other MBEs. So, and I keep saying MBEs, you know, strictly, you're, like, also, like, WBEs.
Yeah, I'm both.
Yeah, yeah,
that?
You're both. It's not just MBEs. So,
yeah.
So what does it mean, and what kind of message does that send to the business community when MBEs and WBEs are helping each other?
We're practicing what we're teaching, meaning, okay, we're over here, want you to do business with a minority or a woman-owned, and guess what? We're doing the same thing. We're doing business with minority and women-owned business. So if we doing that, corporation, public sectors, and other companies are doing that, what is that doing? That's making a great economy for us all. So we get that piece about doing business with one another, and we encourage other women-owned, other minority-owned companies. And like some of the organizations, like DFW Minority Development Council, they have a program in place where we track those dollars as to doing business with other MBEs so that we can see what that dollar amount is and see what that value, see the impact we're having on other minority-owned businesses, other women-owned businesses. Women Council does the same thing. So we have things in place where we measure it. So I like to say we're not just talking this thing, we're walking this thing. Mm-hmm. And we're practicing it and putting it into action, supporting and helping one another to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, talking about the DFW MSDC.
Yes. Big advocate for that.
Oh,
council.
Yeah. I can tell that you're passionate about it for
passionate.
Sure.
I am passionate. That is my council along with WeBank.
So, you know, there's been obviously some growth with you know, the economy and helping MBEs growing, but it's not enough.
Not enough.
And it's what they talked about at the quarterly luncheon that
yes.
you and I both attended, where,
yeah.
you know, they talked about the 1% plus plan. And I believe it was if everyone increased their spending with MBEs by 1% every year, I think you could reach equity in 15 years. And then I think they said it was something like 300 years at the current. It'll take 300 years
at the current rate.
And I was laughing with Mr. McNeely when I talked to him, and we were laughing. We're like, we don't have 300 years.
Right.
We don't have that kind of time. So I guess
what
are some positives in the growth that you've seen in, especially locally for MBEs, just growth? And then, you know, what kind of growth do you think still needs to happen? Like what's it going to take to create even more growth?
Well, some growth is better than no growth, right? And, you know, there's always good to have in place a goal, and the goal being 1%, you know, cuts it down from over 300 years down to 15 years. Okay, that's good. But I am one that always like to not just be talking about what others are not doing. I want to be busy about what it is I'm doing and what I can do to contribute. And I know little small minority women owned business and can't even put a ripple, but yeah. There's a lot of us out there, right? So if we all have the same mindset of doing our part, doing business with each other, and praying for the other big companies, corporations, and public sector to let them see the value that we bring so that they will increase that percentage. And let's just don't be talking about a 1%. Because here again, as I said earlier, we bring great asset to corporation, being able to spend on a dime and be able to be very flexible and helping them reach their goal, which is very valuable. So therefore, when they see that, we're hoping that they will, hey, let's just include them on all of our spend and not just let's set aside just a percentage. Why not open it up for everything that you spend? Can you imagine how that will impact? Yeah. We may even cut that 15 years down to 5.
Yeah, huh? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in this podcast series, I haven't had a chance yet to talk to, because I have scheduled a couple corporate buyers, and I'm very interested to hear their perspective and their take on, you know, the importance of supplier diversity. And I do think that, like, obviously, I mean, there's statistics show it, and, you know, research, you know, bears it out that, you know, it's the benefits for corporations to use diverse suppliers and minority businesses and WBEs. It goes beyond just like the public perception of, you know, oh, hey, we work with some minorities, you know, give us a round of applause.
Right, like, right, right.
Like, there's some actual benefits to it. Exactly. Like beyond just you know,
saying
public
image. Doing it.
Yeah.
Saying that, yes, we do some business, but it's not even enough to measure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I guess I'm really interested to hear their perspective on that. What do you think a corporate buyer says to talk? Like, if I were to ask a corporate buyer, hey, why minority business owners? Why women business owners? Like, what are the biggest benefits, do you think, for them? Like, so you talked about some flexibility, but what are some of the other ones?
Well, some of the other ones, and I don't want to name companies, but there's a lot of companies out there, large corporations, the majority of their business is with minority. Mm-hmm. That buys their product, that use their services. So it only makes good sense to do business with the people who are doing business with you. And so my take would be, and there are, let me just plug this in there. There are some corporations out there who gets that, and they are doing that. And I noticed their levels are increasing because they say it makes good business sense to do business with minority and women-owned companies for the reason we mentioned, flexibility and being able to meet deadlines and not have to go through all the red tape. But also, let's look at the big picture. If minority and if women-owned are not buying your product or your services, then you won't be in existence, right? So it just makes a whole lot of sense. Let's do business with that company that is why we exist, because they're buying our commodity or our services. Is one take. And then you have those who say, hey, I'm just going through the motion. I'll just say, hey, we're doing business, but as far as measuring anything and all of that, I would like to see that change for those who say that they are doing to not just talk it, but back it up with their action. And we know that all of that comes from the top, right? If the CEO, the person who's running that from the top, it does not believe in that, it's not going to trickle down. You're going to have your different departments doing what they want to do. And I have seen a whole lot of corporations who have lined up with where the CEOs got on board. Mm-hmm. And when they got on board, we saw numbers going up. So that is a powerful avenue that does work, that does impact the increasing in the numbers of doing business mm-hmm. with minority and women-owned business.
Yeah, so that, you know, thinking on that topic, we kind of talked about, how you've seen the climate evolve for minority business owners and women-owned businesses. I would imagine in your 30 plus years, there's, again, like we said earlier, there's been progress, but it hasn't been enough. Mm-hmm. So I guess I would say two-part question. How have your challenges, have your challenges been reduced through the years as society's kind of evolved and grown in this topic? And, you know, how have your challenges changed, if at all?
Well, the challenges, it depends on the seasons and all of that. Of course, you know who expected a pandemic to hit us, so that's a whole new thing all by itself. But I would say during the pandemic, we did great in it because of our company pivot to PPE supplies and FDA approved products, and our existing customers. Oh, you offer that? We're already in their database. They've already vetted us, so they bought a lot from us. So it kept our doors open, and we got lots of sales during that time. But on other times, other years, our challenges have decreased a little, and I'm going to attribute it to the councils. The councils is our advocate. Meaning they make certain companies and things accountable, and then they're the things that they put in place to measure process and they also say if you're a member, this is some of the goals that we're setting for our MBE. Can you participate in it? So I'm gonna attribute some of the challenges I have had in the past, like having access to my target market or being able to be a part of something included in a subcontract opportunity, is because of the council being the forerunner for us.
Yep.
So WeBank and DFW Minority Development Council, I'm attributing them in. Are all of my challenges gone away? No, they're still there, those there, but I'm not going away. I'm gonna continue to be in there and do the best that I can and offer value to customers, existing and potential customer, and just do my part and pray for the others to do their part.
Absolutely, that's awesome, that's awesome. Before we get out of here, is there anything else you want to add or say, or is there anything going on with at Joy Promotions that you'd like to talk about before we wrap it up?
Well, I just want to encourage any new MBE or woman on business to be encouraged. I know what it's like for starting a business from ground level. And here again, as I shared in this interview, I am a big advocate for the councils. Please get involved with them. Become members of those councils, because they are very important to have, because who you want to do business are members of the council, and you can have direct access to them. And I'm just going to just end it with that. Be a part of, not only just for the business part, but volunteering, getting on committees with these councils, because you get to know people behind the scene. And here again, as we shared earlier, people like doing business with people that they know and know, but also who does a good job. And so having good relationships is good, but those relationships are good because we're doing a good job and a job well done, so that way it makes them come back to us to do business. Not only are we bringing value and doing a good job for them, hey, we got a good relationship too. How about working together, having fun with you doing, and getting your job done at the same time?
Well, you know what, thank you so much for doing this, Ms. Clemens. This is awesome, and you know, thanks are due all around. I need to thank, no, not need, needs the wrong word. I would like to thank Logisticorp Group for providing support for this podcast and making this project happen. Thank you to ISP Creative for providing just an awesome studio and just making this whole thing possible. So again, thank you to them. Thank you to you, Ms. Clemens. And yeah, this is awesome.
Okay, well, let me just make one correction. And I should have corrected it at the beginning.
Yeah.
The pronunciation of my last name is Clemens.
Clemens.
My
apologies.
I know. I should have corrected you. When I got married, my husband introduced himself as Clemens, and that's how it's spelled. I mean, how it is pronounced in And I just making the point to correct it whenever I hear it, and I should have done that earlier.
Yeah, of course.
All right. So.
Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Clemons, and this was awesome. And be sure to tune in to all the other parts of our Supplying Success podcast series, talking about supplier diversity and you know, the benefits of diverse suppliers. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on Supplying Success.
Thank you for the invite. Appreciate it.